Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, for the opportunity to be together, united. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be here. The words that come out of our mouths today, Lord, may it be your words. We want to dedicate our life to you this morning again and to be ready for your soon coming, Lord. Thank you for everything you give us, for the sacrifice you did for us, and because you want to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, reviewing a little bit, just a little bit. Our first day, we actually built a foundation, and we discovered that it is very important to understand true education. Yes or no?
Yes.
Very important. And we also saw that if we don't understand it, we could lose the kingdom of heaven. So it's very deep. Okay? Yesterday, we put on special lenses, right, to look through to be able to identify true education. Because true education has the goal to redeem and to take us and our children, our family, our community, mankind to where? To heaven. And anything else that does not have those ingredients has another type of goal, and we don't want to have anything to do with that. True or false?
True, true.
Okay. And so we saw through that lens, a family-like setting was very important. True education has a family-life setting. Uses the Bible, right, as the most important book. Nature is very, very important because we can see what we're learning, in an abstract way. We can really see God's love through all the details of nature. The physical aspect we learned about that was very important to have. If we're not healthy and we're not in our minds alert, we cannot understand anything. So that's something that's very important. We saw the work and the industry, our children and ourselves, we need to be useful. We need to learn to do things, right? If we're going to be missionaries out in the world and take our children, they need to be able to do the simple things, the simple tasks. Are we social people? And everything has its time and its way, and it's very important. We are social people. God made us humans, mankind, in a social setting. Character development was another very important. That's the only thing that we're taking to heaven, is our character. Okay? We talked about the body of Christ and how we are all part of the body of Christ. We're all one big family, right? God is the head. But we're going to have students, we're going to have children, that one is the mouth maybe, one is the ear, you know, and so forth. And we're not going to treat one the same way we treat the other, okay? So that was very important. And we just saw also that Jesus grew in four areas. And he grew intellectually, physically, spiritually, socially, and those four aspects should also be in our true education. We cannot miss that, okay? So today we are going to try to design and implement that in a program, okay? And like we said before, we are all very different, but at the same time, we're the same. So we're going to be seeing these aspects in our true education, but it might be implemented slightly different. So if I go to Miss Lascano's house and I see they're doing something way different, but my boys and her boy are most the same age, why are you doing something so different than I'm doing? Well, it's because they're different needs. You understand? So let's try to see if we can understand that this morning. Let's go to Psalms 144:12, and it says there, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. It's not just any building, it's a palace, okay? I love this verse. I love to deepen, analyze, think about it, meditate it. Let's see. Let's talk a little bit about it. Our sons, may they be as plants grown up in their youth. We're not saying plants that are on the floor. They're grown up. But you know what? When we have a garden outside, those that have had gardens, you know that when the plant is growing up, there are many things that attack the plant, right? You have bugs. You have the weather. And sometimes there comes a big rain, and the wind just blows it over, and you have to be trying to, to hold it up somehow and to make it stand. And you can't just give it water all the time because it'll drown, and it needs to have the right amount of water and the right amount of what? Sun, okay? And it needs to have shade. And you know that some plants, if they're too crowded with other plants, what happens? Oh, they won't grow. But if they're too out in the desert by themselves, all dry, what happens? So there's like a balance. Our sons, our boys are like that. We need to have the right amount of things for them to grow. And do you see that some plants may be ready to give a fruit in a couple of years, maybe 2 years, three, or maybe that summer you're already having a little tomato or something. But there are some plants that are 18 years to be able to have a fruit. Is that bad to wait a long time for an avocado? Is it bad? You want to have a ripe avocado or a ripe mango, because if you do open it green, you're not going to be able, it's not going to be okay. And if you wait too long, what happens to the mango? It gets black and you don't want to eat it either. So it has the right time. And if our boys, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because we're going to have different types of boys that are leaders and boys that are more quiet and they're more analytical. And how do you guide each personality of each boy so they can grow and develop and be part of God's body? Only by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way. With our knees. And then someday they can grow up and be tall trees, firm in the body of Christ. That our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. I love to imagine, to look at a palace in my mind. You try to look at it. It's not just a dull brick wall. When we're talking about a palace, we're talking about especially the corners of it. They have little things that are like detailed in, and they're shiny. It says polished. So what had to happen to that area for it to be special and unique for a palace? And might be saying that a palace is where who lives? Maybe a king. So the palace, what are we talking about? What palace? The palace of our king, our God. Wow, isn't that deep? What did that have to have? Someone artistic had to come, and maybe a chisel maybe had to come and take place. Ouch, but that hurts, doesn't it? To have a chisel? What if I do it too soft? Will it mark it? Will I give the details? No. What if I do it too hard? Bang. I'll break it off, and then I'll have a chunk falling off. Is that what the Lord wants us to do with our daughters? It's not one extreme or the other. It has to have the polishing done. And it's little by little, with patience, the details need to be there. And then our daughters can be part of the palace of our King. Can you see that? And this is what we want. We need them to be ready so this can happen. It can't be forced upon any child. It has to be in the readiness of time. So today we're going to be talking of how to construct something that it could be ready. First thing that I'm going to say when we think about our schooling, okay, everything. It says, and Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. You in your home, when you're going to start to implement and construct your curriculum and your schedules and everything, first of all, we need to give to the Lord what is the Lord. And that's what we've been doing on the first day and on the second day. We want to do that first. And then we're going to look and see what is that the Caesar, the government, or the laws of the place are asking me to do. I have to do that unless it's running over the laws of God. And then we have to make a choice. Are we going to honor our Lord? Well, you have to make that decision. And if we choose our Lord, it's going to be true education. But the Lord said here, Jesus said, you know, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. So if it doesn't bother things that are from God, then let's go ahead and give Caesar what is Caesar's. So first thing you need to go is to your state or to your area and check out what are the laws of this place. I've lived in many places, and there's some places that don't have any, you know, strict requirements. Others have some that you just have to inform to the Department of Education. Others have a lot of big list of things that you have to do, but you have to decide if you want to do it or not. That's just the way it is. If you do not comply to the laws of that place, you have to if you don't like the laws of that place, you think it's very hard or you don't want to do it, you have two options. You don't do that type of education, or you just move away, go to another place that accepts that, because you can be, you know, social worker could work, knock at your door. If you're doing a homeschool setting, if you have, I bet Ms. Montag could talk to us later on about if you're having like a private school setting, there are other laws, and you have to investigate those type of laws so you can, you know, do what you need to do, because we need our kids that need to be safe and etc. Okay? So did we understand that part? Okay. So that's exactly what I was trying to say there, to research, investigate the laws of the state or your area. Okay, after you have that, you're going to sit down. And actually, I have a green paper, and I'm going to ask Trisha to help us to pass around. It's a green paper. And this is just to help us. We're going to have a side where there are lines, and we're going to use also the back side. I want you to put the back side, the blank side first. Just use that side first. Okay? And in that side, you're going to have, you just write down maybe some notes right now, but you need to do this when you're calm, when you're analyzing, when you have prayed, okay? And you're going to write there the philosophy of education. You need to know the reasons and the goals that you're doing this. Why are you doing this? If you're homeschooling, you need to have one too. If you are doing a school home, you definitely have. Every school has their philosophy of education. Okay, and you're going to write that down. You write that in a corner. And you're going to use in that philosophy, you're going to use your Bible text, maybe a quote of the spirit of prophecy, something that can back you up of why the reason that you're doing this. But this is very important. There will be great days, and there will be days that you have to, Lord, why am I doing this again? Because when we're doing things that are great and grand for the Lord, our enemy will be at battle. And there will be days that are hard. And to have this in a portfolio, you need a portfolio to have this, and to have the first page and open it and read it again, that inspires you and to remind you why you're there. It's very important to have that established, okay? So that's the first part you need to have. The reason why your family or the little school that you're doing is doing this. Okay? Next, this is for real. You need to choose the name of your school home. This is not a game. You really need to have a name. This is not a game. You need to have a name. Why? Because every institution, little school has a little name. You can have a name chosen. It helps your students. If you're at home doing homeschooling, I am in a special school. I am the school of my home, and I'm going to name it something. Sometimes the name has to do with the reason why you're doing it or the place that you're at. You do that. Next, you should have in that portfolio some student health records, okay? And there you're going to document allergies, and you're going to the vaccinations or the signed waiver of exemption or whatever has to do with the health. Why? Because we could be investigated, and you don't have to be scared. You don't have to be scared. You need to be able to prove that you are schooling in a proper way. That's it. We don't need to hide from anything, right? Because we're doing things from the Lord the right way. There are places that will ask you to have an attendance record. Okay? If you're at home doing homeschooling, why do I need this? Well, you can have a special calendar and just check off, just a little check. Well, these days we did this, and this day we did that. And just to have an idea of the days you did, or maybe you went out to see grandma, and that's also education. But yeah, there are some places that do ask, okay? There's something else called the course of study. I'm going to talk a little bit about this. You can be as detailed or brief as you would like. Include the subjects you intend to study and the books and the learning tools. Include in this section long and short-term goals. Okay? And you need to look over the state laws to know if there are requirements in this area of how to write down the course of study. For example, I know the state of Texas asks for the school in the home to have a class called citizenship, if you're doing it. So how can we do that the Lord's way? You can do it any way you want, but there has to be something called that. You look in your areas, there's something that they require, okay? When I began to do, I chose homeschooling in my home. Okay, homeschooling. We're going to call it school home because it doesn't matter. We learned yesterday it could be both. So in this school home, I tried to do at first these long journals because I wanted every detail to be explained and I could have the memory of what we were doing and the details. But I started out really well the first day and the second day and the first week. I noticed that I was spending a lot of time writing. And my day was going, and I wasn't being able to go do what I needed to do because I was writing too much. And you know what? It just it didn't work. It for me, but maybe for you, it's a little different. Maybe you could do a little journal, a medium one. For me, it worked, a little calendar-type agenda thing that I could just detail a little phrase or a little word and put the page number of the title of what I used or something like that. We try to simplify because we want to spend our time what?
Teaching.
We need to be organized though, okay? We need to be organized. This is the next step. The school home journal, what we're talking about, it's important to have a plan of the year. You need to step back and see, okay, what am I trying to do with my child from here to here? Well, let me divide it up later, just to have an idea of the things that I want to do. Does that mean that I have, you know, that it's a brace on me and I have to be on top of that, like, oh no, I missed a day of doing math in adding up. No, I could do two instead of three. But it is important to be able to have an idea. What worked for me was to have something general in a special calendar where I could see, and then go, and every Sunday I would work on just reviewing, what am I going to do this week? And have something visual written down so I could just look and scan, oh, that's right, we're going to try to do this, and that's, you know, the goal for this area. This is very important. Very important. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. And you know, my Spanish Bible says there's a time for everything that is loved under the heavens. What is it that you love? What is it? What's the purpose for your education? There is time, the Bible says, for that. There is time for that. And what exactly, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to illustrate it for you today. We're going to do something here. Let's just imagine, can you see me well? Let's imagine that these rocks represent, they're going to represent the big things, the things that are important, the things that we talked about yesterday that need to be in our education. Can someone mention something? Family setting. Let's try to do a family setting. What else was very important? The Bible is very important. Let's try to put the Bible here first. Family setting. What else?
Nature.
Okay. Something else?
Physical aspect.
Work. Okay. Let's try to put everything in there. It fit, right? Now, let's try to imagine the little extras, maybe the medium things that we want. And maybe you could have an idea what medium things are that you want in your classroom. Can someone say something? An idea? Well, I think the biggest one would be the Bible, you know, have God. Well, you would like, in that Bible, you would like the children to learn to learn independently at some point, right? Using the Bible or researching whatever it is. And then you just start thinking, and you need a list. Well, I would like to also have this goal and this other goal. And they're going to be things that are great, and they're not as big. Okay? They're not as big. And we're just going to put them in there. And then, sorry, I'm dropping all my little things. And then, what goes next? What is this? I have sand. Are sand big, big chunks of the day? These are the small, life happens, little things happen, right? That are learning also. Learning, it's important to maybe go out with the family and we can share with someone and, you know, different things that you want to decide. And these are the little things. And look what happens. So these are the little ones, okay? We're putting it in a jar, for those that I can't see, in like a vase, and we have the big rocks representing the big, important things of our schedule or of our curriculum. Actually, we didn't mention in the list, those could be part of the medium ones too. It is important to have books. And we're gonna talk a little bit about the books. It is important to have books. Is it important that all it be books and a formal education? No, not all. So here I'm trying to put every grain in here. And did everything fit in my vase? It did. It fit. Everything did fit in there. Now, let's see what happens if I decide to do it the other way around. Please have patience with me just one moment. If I decide to not put the important things first, if I decide to put just anything first, and then try to fit everything in, let's see what happens. I'm using the same amount of sand, same amount, And I don't know if you can tell, but we have the same size of a jar. Well, we're going to probably use the same jar then. Okay. And try to sift out that sand. Let's try to take the big, important things that we already know what they are. And we have the medium ones. Could be our, you know, it's important to be able to learn how to read and write and all that stuff. Okay, so let's do that. I'm going to put first the sand, the little things. Well, I want to have art class, and I want to be able to learn violin. I like to play, I mean, songs, we mentioned it was important. But if I want to have so many instruments that I want to learn, but I want to just put it in there anyway. And I can have a poetry class and have horseback riding lessons, which is really nice because it's nature also. Isn't it? I could have all that, couldn't I? It could be in there. Anything that I love can be in my schedule. Okay, but I decided just to put it in all of it, in any order. And then the medium thing. And then if I have time, let's see what happens if I try to put the other ones in. What happens? What got left out?
The big stuff.
The Bible got left out. The work and the industry. But a little while ago, it all fit, didn't it? We're using the same vase, the same amount of the medium rocks, the big rocks, and the sand. What was the difference? The priorities were different. When you go to do your schedule and your curriculum, now we can get our green paper, and we can go to this side here where the lines are. These little slots that you have in the left side, those are going to be your hours. What time do you wake up? Let that be your first thing. 5 o'clock in the morning, which should be my big one, having my time with the Lord. That should be the first one. That should be down here. And then, going down all the way down, what time do you go to bed? Is it 8, 9, 11? If you go to bed at 12, I don't think you're going to be able to get up at 5, but okay, whatever you decide how it is. There are different needs. When you have all your little numbers down, all the way down, now you're going to set what we call the anchor points. Okay? The anchor points. And you're going to put right by it a little mark. The anchor points are the things that will not move necessarily normally during the day. Well, we need to be flexible. And we need to keep it simple and organized, but we need to be flexible. But it can't be every day being something really crazy and different. There has to be something that is pretty solid so the child can see and the youth can see that this is important. I need to keep it. At this hour when I get up, I need to make my bed before I leave. I'm not going to make it at lunchtime. It needs to be done at that point. That would be an anchor point to get ready soon, leaving everything, you know, that's an anchor point. So getting ready, having my time with the Lord, you know, could be the very first one. And another anchor point, don't we eat at a certain time? So our breakfast and our lunch would have an anchor point in our meal time. What about the family devotion? Because there's the part where they're doing it by themselves, but when we come together as a family, would that be an anchor point? Okay, would be family, a special family time? Maybe that's important for you to have a night where you can share and talk and read a story together and maybe play and tickle and massage and just be a family to share and to know each other. You think of what you love, of what you think it's important for the needs of your family, and you'll put it there, okay? When I lived in a tropical setting, I lived in Puerto Rico, and I needed to be out early. If I was going to use nature, I needed to be out early because there the weather, at a certain hour in the day, at 3 o'clock, it's going to be raining where I lived, in the place that I lived, And at 10 o'clock, it was blazing hot. And so I needed to know, okay, so at this hour, we do this before 10, and we're going to do that. And, you know, I had my idea. But when I moved and I went to another place where there was winter, then I understood, oh, we have to be out after 10, because before 10, it's freezing, and we can't do that. So then my anchor points shifted a little bit with the hours. Do you understand? I'm just trying to give a little example of you need to sit down and say, Lord, help me have an idea. What happens if in the middle, you know, it's time for this? I mean, it's 3 o'clock or it's 4 o'clock and we have to do this. And you see that your child is sad, or you see that they have a question, or you see that there is maybe a problem between the students. It's time to sit down and let's talk it over. You know, let's reason together. Doesn't the Bible say to reason together? Let's come and reason, and are you okay? And let's, you know what? There are times where you have to stop what you have planned. And sometimes you have planned this amazing day that we're going to do this, and the Lord in the morning in your devotion said, you know what? I have another plan for you, and it's going to be a lot better. And at the end of the day, you know, Lord, thank you. I changed it completely, but I can see that my child understood it. And if I wouldn't have done it this way, wow, I would have lost the opportunity to win him over. And not only that, to understand the formal part and the spiritual part. Are we understanding a little bit? Okay. I'm going to show you a little peek of my house. There's a little photograph of the wall of my kitchen. And on the top, actually, in Spanish, it's that part where it says that there's time for everything and everything you love under the heavens. And then I have this big frame in the middle. It says the hours. I need to really know what I'm a visual person. I need to know what to expect today. So I have that, and in a little corner to the right, you can't see the titles very well because they're in Spanish, but the special work that we're planning to do that day and the menu that we're planning, it just helps me simplify my life and to be able to know, oh, we're going to do this. And the children, okay, Mom, what are we making today? Oh, they're just going to take out the bread and because they know today is sandwiches, you know, and it makes it all go flow, and that's what we want it to flow nicely. On this side, we have for the devotions of the afternoon, who is in charge of that, and that, you know, we're not going to be, today's your turn, or, you know, they already know whose turn it is. We have a little calendar, because there are orthodontics appointments, and whatever it is on the bottom, and then I have a little small thing on the left, that are my little list. Remember to make the thank you cards and to mend the little thing of my dress and whatever. And then we have special projects where we're fixing a table and that's just write it down. Remember, we have until this date to fix the table and da 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 da. And over here I have a little special, always a special quote to inspire anybody. You know, we can do all things through Christ. You know, it's hard, it's going to be hard, but it's there all the time. And when we're passing and, you know, just going through that, can that change? Yes. I use little markers that can be erasable, and since it's glass, I just wipe it off. And it's really easy. It worked for me. This, you don't have to do this. This could probably be just a waste for some people. But it worked for me. It's just an idea. We need to be organized, make it simple, make it flow, and just do the best we can do. Okay, we didn't talk about books yesterday. Are they important? We did say a little bit, yes. Look what it says here in Messages to Youth. Young people. Okay, thank you. I'm trying to say, I have it in my mind in Spanish and trying to say it in English. Okay. Never think that you have learned enough and that you may now relax your efforts. The cultivated mind is the measure of the man. Your education should continue during your lifetime. Every day you should be learning and putting to practical use the knowledge gained. Huh. It is important to learn. And Do we need the books to learn, though? Yeah, well, we can learn by doing things, and I'm going to show you later on, and I would like you to write it on your paper in a little bit, some methods that we could use. But, you know, when I got to the point where we need to do, like, geometry and this trigonometry, whatever, pre-calculus stuff, oof, that just went over my head. Well, I need a book for that. And there are other things like anatomy and things. I don't know all the names of the bones. I just don't know them by memory. That wasn't my area. And there's certain things like that. We're gonna need books to be able to look. I recommend that you look for books that are with our mindset, creation based on 6 days, you know. Things like that we don't want to introduce, things that we don't believe in, okay, that are bad. Okay, the next one. Be sure that you thoroughly understand the simple rules of English grammar and have learned to read and write and spell correctly. Climb the lower rounds of the ladder before reaching the higher rounds. So that means, what does that mean? Do I need like a grammar book, a dictionary maybe, a encyclopedia, and something that can help me out with that? Sure, I can use books like that. And there is a time for it. Is it going to be all day long?
No.
No, I can't do that all day long because we said that wouldn't be true education. That would be trying to do either a school home or a homeschooling, which is just, I've seen plenty of those that only have books all day long, all day long, all day long, and the children are actually very tired and weak. Oops, and very tired. But look, it says there is a place for it. And we do need to we need to learn to talk correctly and to spell it out, because if we're going to be missionaries, we want to be able to speak to people. And we can maybe, if we can't talk to them, maybe we can make, you know, write it down. Well, we have all this is written for a reason, isn't it? And I'm so happy that it's written. I'm so happy somebody knew how to write it properly so I could read it and understand it. Okay, so it says here, look at the last part. Climb the lower rounds of the ladder before reaching the higher rounds. You're going to teach. You should teach, but this is going to be up to you. You should teach, I learned, to show my children that they are in a grade. They are in a grade. They actually at some point felt sad that, they, you know, Mom, am I studying? Am I really studying? You know, Daddy asked me today what we did in our little school. He was out all day. Daddy was out all day. And we were actually doing math, but what did we do? Elizabeth was, you know, not too small, but not too big. And we were pretending to have a little store, and we had put values on our little cans and our little stuff, and we were adding and subtracting, but for her, she was not learning. She was playing. And we had gone through nature, and we had done a lot of stuff, you know, all-day activities and our things. And when Daddy asked, well, what did you do? I didn't do a thing. We played all day, Dad, you know. So she was asking, Mommy, am I in school? Yeah, you are, actually. And I told her, you're in this grade. Oh, okay, more or less, because of the age. And she felt good. She felt good to that. But we are not just learning what's in a box, what people say that you need to learn in this box when you are in fifth grade. You need to learn what's in there. No, because we need to, what happens if a child, we need to teach them by skill. How can I go to multiplication if I don't understand my adding yet? And how can I add if I'm not really correct? It's abstract for me to understand that 2 means that there are 1 and 2, the value of the number. So is it bad that a child spend a whole year understanding that? No. What if someone grasps it in a month and they're ready to move on? Should I keep them the whole year? No, 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 no. You're still of the age that you need to know the value, and we're going to stay here. What's going to happen to the child? Is he going to be excited to learn? Oh, again? But I know that already. You know, I already understand that this is 2. I would like to know what it is if I put them all together. They're ready to move on to the next skill. You understand? If the child doesn't, you're going to have children that are going to be in math in this level, but in grammar maybe in this. Or maybe children that are very vocal and they're very good writers and they're way up here in that area, but in math, they're still trying to get it. And is that wrong? That is not wrong. That is not wrong. So we need to teach by skill. And when they're ready to move on, you move on. Our school home should have the flexibility. It's harder when you're in a place where there are, you know, a lot of rules, and you should be finished with these books at the end of the year, but somehow you need to have that flexibility, because it's not wrong for a child to be, you know, climbing high in some areas, and that way you can give more time for the areas that need more help. Okay? You understand? Okay. So should they advance or should I keep them back? Let's see. Let the youth advance as fast as far as they can in the acquisition of knowledge. Let their field of study be as broad as their powers can compass. And as they learn, let them impart their knowledge. So they whatever they're going to learn, they need to be able to impart it too. Because if you keep it in here, it's going to go poof. So they need to be able to apply it. And it could be in a little quiz or something like that. It doesn't have to be a test. You can just, by asking questions or by solving a problem in the home or in the setting that you're in. So yes, you can have them advance. Advance, advance, advance. You need to keep them happy in learning. What happens if they're not happy? They'll stop learning. They'll be sad. Before we move on, I would like to do the same thing we did yesterday. Let's stand up for a moment. Let's breathe deeply. Let's breathe deeply. You can stretch and just pull and breathe a couple of times very deeply. We need oxygen in our brain. We're almost to the end. Say hi to your neighbor.
Hello.
Happy that we're here. Okay? That's good. Okay, we can sit down. What type of books am I going to bring to the home? What type of books am I bringing to the home? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So those are the things that you're going to bring into the home, things that are pure and good. I'm going to give you an example, though. Pilgrim's Progress is a good book. Was that actually true? But it's talking about our life, truly, in the sense of spirituality. So we have counsels in Ellen G. White to look up that book. So this is what we're talking about, okay? But we need to have things that are true, you know. Don't put things that are, at least I chose not to bring witches and magic and stuff like that into my home. I don't need to have that. And there were lots of things that I didn't read, and there was a lot of things that my children never saw, and they're okay. Okay? An education derived chiefly from books leads to superficial thinking. So the books are important, but it's not the whole entire day on just books. Language. We saw, as with language, so with every other study. It may be so conducted that it will tend to the strengthening and upbuilding of character. We need to know our language. It's important. What about science? Should I have science somewhere? He who studies most deeply into the mysteries of nature will realize most fully his own ignorance and weakness. He will realize that there are depths and heights which he cannot reach, secrets which he cannot penetrate, vast fields of truth lying before him, unentered. And that just shows you that your God is almighty and powerful and big, and he's the creator of all this. Amen. What about math? Should I put math in there? In the study of figures, the work should be made practical. Let every youth and every child be taught, not merely to solve imaginary problems, but to keep an accurate account, for example, of his own income and outgoes. Let him learn the right use of the money by using it. And it should become practical. You need to understand the abstract and you take it to the practical, okay? And that way. So math is also important. There should be a little slot in there. Maybe one of the grains of sand should be a math. What about history? Well, we can have a type of history where only it focuses on the battles and the deaths and the bad people and all the wars. And yeah, we need to know that there were wars and there's sin in the world and all that. But far better is it to learn in the light of God's word the causes that govern the rise and the fall of kingdoms. Let the youth study these records and see how the true prosperity of nations has been bound up with acceptance of the divine principles. Let him study the history of the great reformatory movements and see how often these principles, though despised and hated, their advocates brought to the dungeon and the scaffold, have through these very sacrifices triumphed. So they need to be able to know these things, okay? And you know what? Our children need to know. They need to be able to back up and see a picture of a timeline. And see the history in their mind. And this is Eden. This here, Noah. And what happened over here? Why did this happen? And we are part of the same people going through this world. And we can see going back and learning and seeing, oh, you know what? Our enemy, Satan, is not creative at all. He does the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And if I see that, oh, I know what he's going to try to do to me. He's been doing it all the time, and he has no, like I said, he won't invent anything new. He will either try to trick you by lowering you down, or he'll try just to attack you, boom. It's the same thing. And he tries to imitate everything from God. God has a special day. He'll imitate it. God has special, true education. He'll try to imitate it. He's got good wisdom in books. He'll try to imitate and give you bad books. He'll copy anything. Music, good music, inspiring, uplifting, takes me to the throne. Music of the Almighty. He'll imitate it, make you go down and stay here in your mind. What do you want to bring to your home, to your school home? We need to know history. But history, as commonly studied, is concerned with man's achievements, his victories in battle, his success in attaining power and greatness. God's agency in the affairs of men is lost sight of. Few study the working out of his purpose in the rise and the fall of the nations. It's very beautiful. Okay, I'm going to explain to you something that I could do if I have many, many children in my setting, but we're all wanting to study. And how can I make this happen? Well, this is one way. And this is called unit studies or learning projects. And this is how it works. I'm going to just give you an example. If we chose in our nature time or this month or however you want to design it, let's study the ocean. Okay? How would I do that if I have 4-year-old, 5-year-old, and then I have a 10-year-old. How do I do this? Well, for the 10-year-old, we can actually look up words that have to do with the ocean. Like we could go to the beach, and we can pick up shells and try to investigate the words or the names of these shells. And let's look them up. Let's see what type of animal lives here. What are we doing there when we do that? What are we doing? What is that? Biology? What it is, how they grow, what they need. And the little one could be drawing the little shell and having this, you know, picture that what they saw when they were at the beach. And we can do timelines. How many people use the ocean to travel? You can do history. We could talk about people like, wasn't it Peter and Mark and Silas, and they use big boats to go from here to there, and they use, what was the ocean's name? Get a map out, and let's try. We're doing history, we're doing geography, we're doing all sorts of things. Can you do hobbies with it? If we're studying the ocean, you could take sand and make an art project with it, or the little shells and glue it in, or maybe you can go, scuba with the bigger ones and look at the actual coral reefs inside and talk about that. You can do journals and notebooks and write the definitions like we said a little while ago, or what you felt when you put your feet in the sand, and can you write a poem about it? And we're doing poetry, and we're doing, oh my goodness, so many little things. You can put the little sand things in the little microscope and see what do the crystals look like, and what, wow, there's little atoms, and we can do lap books. A lap book is like a big poster board where you have a topic in the middle and you put ocean, and then you start adding definitions and everything you've been researching, and you're all of a sudden putting all these things that have to do with the ocean in this cardboard. And then when you have that poster board in the room or in the living room, then the child goes by, and we've been a month using the ocean as the theme, but we've been adding these little things every time we do another activity, or the little poetry is there, and it's going to be something meaningful. Are they going to forget the visit to the beach with mom and dad and with the family and with the other families? And it's going to be something that's very meaningful, okay? You can do the biography of someone that had to do with, you know, you can study the life of Peter and how he used his travels and go on from there. You can just go on and on and on and start reading a book that has to do about the ocean. And, oh, wow, you can have a whole year on the topic if you wanted to. But it all depends upon, you know, you could be all the time in the ocean, but you want to plan. That's why you want to plan. Well, no, let's talk about the ocean for 2 months, and then 2 more months, let's go talk about this other thing. And you need to make it alive and different, okay? True education is not the forcing of instruction on an unready and unreceptive mind. The mental powers must be awakened, the interest aroused. For this, God's method of teaching provided. He who created the mind and ordained the laws, its laws, provided for its development in accordance with them. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. And after we have all that divided in our mind, the Bible, the science, the math, we can do the list on and on and on and on and on and on. What happens? What would be the method of teaching it? Deuteronomy 6:6-9. That's the method God told the people of Israel how to teach their children the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were, you know, the law of God, his character on these two rocks. And were they, yeah, maybe they were supposed to memorize it, but they needed to know the meaning, and how was that to happen? This is how we should apply other things to teaching children. Look what it says. And these words that which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. So first you have to understand it and grasp it and love it. Because if you don't love it and you don't believe in it, are you going to show your child to do that? No. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest. In thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Can we talk about this while I'm walking, while I'm sitting, while I'm going to the store in the car? Mommy, what about this? Or teacher, what is this? Is it? Do I say, excuse me, don't ask me that, because it's not 3 o'clock yet. We'll be talking about math at 3. Should we do that? Will they ask at 3 o'clock? Will they remember to ask at 3 o'clock? I have an appointment to ask my teacher at 3 o'clock. It happens naturally, and naturally we need to give it, provide their need, okay? And when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Thy hand is what you do, the things you do when you work, when you do things manually, and when you And they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And that's our brain. They need to understand it. So it's the intellect, but done with the manual. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. They need to be able to, that's the way that they can grasp it, understand it, and believe it, what you're telling them. So it's a natural way. Can we teach math that way? Yes. I wonder what, look how many butterflies are there. Can we add them up? Yes. Et cetera, et cetera. Do you understand more or less how to apply that? I know it's a little abstract, but. Teachers, take hold of the schoolwork with diligence and patience. Realize that yours is not a common work. You are laboring for time and for eternity, molding the minds of your students for entrance into the higher school. Every right principle, every truth learned in an earthly school will advance us just that much in the heavenly school. The work that we are doing is very important. Either you chose a home setting or a school home setting. This is eternity. This is where the army of God is going to come out and be lifted and be ready to go out and to preach unto the world. This is the only way our work is going to finish. What do students carry with them when they leave school? What do they carry with them? Where are they going? What are they to do? Have they the knowledge that will enable them to teach others? Have they been educated to be true fathers and true mothers? Again, that little family thing that we were talking about. Boys need to understand that they are priests. They will be priests of a home. Amen. Do they know how to do that? Are there lots of men in our society that know how to do that today?
No.
I wonder why. They've been attacked. It's been a plan. It's the same plan from the beginning. They've been attacked. Okay? What about mothers? Are they being attacked too? Yeah, very much so. This is a very hard work that many times falls a lot on the mother. We need to go on our knees. When there is emergency, what do? We go on our knees. Can they stand at the head of a family as wise instructors? The only education worthy of the name is that which leads young men and women to be Christ-like, which fits them to bear life's responsibilities, fits them to stand at the head of their families. That's what true education is really all about. Okay? We did this activity already, which I had there. So I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave it with that quote there so you can write down. I just have a list. Before I finish, I have a little list of, first of all, we have the Bible. This is your book of excellence as a teacher, as an instructor also. The student needs it, but do we need it?
Yes.
Yes, we need to really, really dig into this deep. Every day we can find more. You know, deeper, deeper, deeper. And if when we thought we got to the end, you know what? There's still more. Amen. We're going to be for eternity trying to know more and more. The Lord is going to give us more. We're not going to be bored. It's going to be joyful. It's going to be nice. After the Bible, we have some books that I want you to write down the title, please. And you probably have others that you would like to share. Child Guidance is one. Needs to be read. Counsels to Parents, Teachers, and Students. The book on education. There's another book called True Education. We have the book on Adventist Home. We have the book on mind, character, and personality. We have Ministry of Healing, which talks, there's a section there. You would think it's only just about health, but there's a talk about mothers, and there's beautiful. The list could go on, but the The author is Ellen G. White. Very inspiring books. The last one? Adventist Home. Mind, Character, and Personality, and Ministries of Healing. I'm going to also share with you a couple of things that I used to present. Well, those books I used to present all this information. There is a place that you could go online, and it's Adventist. It's called AdventistHomeEducator.org. AdventistHomeEducator.org, and there's a lot of nice information on families that are trying to do true education. Of course, we have, first of all, true.education. And if we go there, we can find a compilation of Ellen G. White's quotes and you know, talking about education. So I would dig there a lot. There's another book that I have that's called The Successful Homeschool Family Handbook. The Successful Homeschool Family Handbook, and it's by the late Dr. Raymond and Dorothy Moore. And that, again, we're talking about true education. It could be used as a homeschooling setting or as a school home setting. There's a beautiful DVD out there. The author is Scott Ritzma, and it's called Undoctrinated. Undoctrinated. And it's from Belt of Truth Ministries. Of course, it's Adventist. And much of the things that were presented here, he also talks about them. He deepens a lot more, though. There is a book called Parenting Your Child by the Spirit by Sally Holmberger. Beautiful. I have, especially, it goes on by stages. I have the Parenting Your Teen by the Spirit. I'm reading that right now, and it's really beautiful and uplifting. And you know what? Looking at all this, it makes you want to, like, sort of cry. It's really big, everything that we're doing. And we know, you know what? We're sinners. We're not perfect. But if we grab hold to the Lord and His strength, can we do all things in Him? Yes, we can. We need to stand up and grab each other by the hand. Like I said yesterday, those that are doing it in a school setting, it needs to be a certain way. Those that are in the home setting, we need to grab hands and walk together. As families, as a society, we need to walk together, because this is about to end. And we want everyone to be able to hear the last message. And our children need to be ready to proclaim it. And this is the way to do it. Thank you so much. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much once more, because you are big and grand and powerful. And you are our God, our loving God. And you come down to our level and show us the things that we need to know to be able to be ready for your coming. Help us to be lights for others. And help us with our difficulties also. We have many, Lord. We need your strength. We need to be able to have your power, your light, and your guidance to be able to see the way. But by doing so, we see that the end is very near. And please prepare us, Lord. Thank you so much. We ask for your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.